Welcome to Semper Gumby in Alaska, a podcast of the Diocese of Juneau. Broadcasting today from St. Catherine of Siena Parish in Petersburg and St. Rose of Lima in Wrangell, Alaska. Today is the third Sunday in Lent, the 11th of March, 2012. We examine the Ten Commandments. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to the Lord.
Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "The temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them, because he knew them all and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Often we don't fully understand a situation until we're in that situation ourselves. You know, I had heard rumor that there were, you know, parts of the state of Alaska that didn't have indoor plumbing for large cities. And you had to haul water in buckets, and that's all kind of theoretical until you're there. Hauling water and waste in 5 gallon buckets, going, "What happened? Where am I?" God knew human nature from God's perspective. He created us. And he gave us the commandments to help us play in bounds, if you will, in life. But then when Jesus became flesh, we have this beautiful line right here at the beginning of John's gospel that Jesus knew human nature personally and could then lead us to holiness kind of in a new way. I'm going to spend a little time on the Ten Commandments because they're really important. Imagine you're there, the pearly gates. Steve Jobs has been there ahead of you, so St. Peter has an iPad. He's checking everybody's names off. And it says, "Oh, you get a quiz." Kind of unusual, but it's multiple choice, or, you know, it's a jumble. You have to get everything in the right order, and you get to go to heaven. And you're like, "What? A quiz? I didn't study." Well, as Jesus said, you had Moses and the prophets. What more did you need? In this, we're reading from Moses, right? The book of Exodus. God is on the mountaintop. The people are gathered around the base of the mountain. And like God's booming voice is giving the Ten Commandments. If you read just a little bit further in Exodus 20, the people say, Moses, could you talk to God? We're done. No more direct communication with God. This is overwhelming. And from that time, right, we've had intermediaries, if you will. Prophets, priests, theologians, helping us discern the will of God. But if we go right here, this is what God wants us to do. And how well do we do it? I think we get an F. I know I get an F. If we take it to Jesus' level, right? Jesus often said, you know, it was said, thou shalt not kill. We had this just 2 weeks ago, right? But I say to you, you can't even be angry at someone and wishing them ill and keep this commandment. And you're like, Jesus, this is a little hard. Because my human nature tends towards, well, breaking all of these at some point. Why did God give us these commandments? To keep us safe. Right? How many people told their children not to play on the freeway? Right? My mom did. Don't play on the freeway. It wasn't tempting, but we did have a major highway that was between me and the beach. The Pacific Coast Highway. You had to cross the Pacific Coast Highway to get to the beach, and the beach was a pretty big draw. And it was just a mile away, so we could walk down there or ride our bikes. And thankfully, they eventually put an underpass under the highway. But a lot of children were crossing the Pacific Coast Highway to get to the beach. Right? And this is a nightmare waiting to happen. Because people don't pay attention when they're driving the Pacific Coast Highway because it's beautiful. And so they're driving like this and looking out, not in front of them, where little Tommy's darting across the road. We have the Ten Commandments to keep us safe and keep us connected to God. So, what are the first three? Anyone?
They're about God.
They're about God, yes, she was here last night. You have it right in your missalette, right? There's only one God, and this God enters into history. Right? This is a God who brought the people out of Egypt, who called Abraham from Ur to travel across the Mesopotamian Valley. Right? This is a God who enters into history, which is kind of different. And it's a God who's not regional, but over a large expanse of area. In fact, the whole known world. And there's only one God. And it takes a while for the Israelites to comprehend this. Because everybody had their own gods. You had household gods and, you know, idols made of them. And you had local gods, you had city gods, you had regional gods, you had fertility gods, and on and on and on. And God's saying, don't get caught up in the lie. There's only one that you can trust in. But who do we place our trust in today? Power and control, safety and security, affection, esteem, and pleasure, and over-identification with our national or group identity. These are the four things that the human family is placing their trust in. If we trusted in God, we'd have a very different looking world. But instead, we trust in ourselves, in our institutions, in our organizations, in our bank accounts. And anyone who's watched their retirement fund disappear realizes that their bank account is not something to place your trust in, because it will just vanish overnight, unfortunately. They're all just ones and zeros, right? I tried to go to the bank and visit my money. And they said, excuse me? I said, I'd like to see my money. I want to make sure you have it. And they're like, we don't actually have your money. We loaned it to someone else. I'm like, you're making me kind of nervous. That's okay. We'll give you back someone else's money. I'm like, not getting any better here. Eventually, the branch manager of Alaska USA in Juneau said, "Father Thomas, it's okay. You only invested $1,200 with us. We're not going to lose it." I'm like, "But it's all that I've got." What do we place our trust in? We show that trust, right, by the idols we make. Whether it's our car, our education, our money, our institutions, our political party, our particular agenda. We make idols of these things. We're going to see them sprout up all over the place. Our little political ads, you know. The third one, I think we're all guilty of. How many have actually taken a Sabbath rest this year? Right? And really done nothing. Right? So the rest of us, I'll see you Thursday night. Taking a Sabbath rest isn't optional. Right? It's not like God needs us to rest. Right? God doesn't need us to rest. We need us to rest. And God said, this is how the game is played. If you don't rest, you'll never stay connected to me. The priestly class who helped us write Exodus said, it's really important to rest. We're going to put it right here, you know, that God rested. After 6 days of creation, took a day off and enjoyed a walk in the garden, apparently. Which is awesome. But we do very bad at this. And our whole society kind of creeps up. When I was a little kid, which was only like 35 years ago, the mall in California was closed on Sunday. Totally closed. Grocery stores were closed. It's kind of like living in Wrangell. All the stores in Wrangell are closed on Sunday, except for a few hours at the hardware store, and now the Seventh-day Adventists run a discount food store that's open on Sunday because it's closed on Saturday. But how well do we take seriously the need to rest as a family? If you celebrate the Sabbath, as I had the opportunity to do with Myron Rosenberg, you might guess is Jewish, and he was a rabbinical student. We went to chaplain school together, and it was really serious. Friday night, you found a family, if you were by yourself, to celebrate the welcoming of the Sabbath dinner, and they sang to the Sabbath. They sang this beautiful song, longing for the Sabbath to come, as they lit the candles at sunset. And you're like, oh, this is awesome. And then that meal had been prepared before the Sabbath started, so we ate that meal, and the leftovers were for the rest of the meal before the next dinner, Saturday night after sunset. But the things they did on that day was attend synagogue, so you're doing that, you're here. They read their scriptures with the family. Well, that would be interesting if we went home and read our Bibles to each other. And they took a nap, a mandatory Sabbath nap. No matter what the age. Like, I want to be Jewish. Mandatory Sabbath nap, I'm calling one right now. But how well do we take seriously the prescription that God's given us for our safety to rest? Something to think about. The fourth one is the only commandment that comes with a promise. Right? All the other commandments are like, thou shalt and thou shalt not. This one is, and you'll have a long life if you honor your mom and dad. How well do we do that? Right? If you haven't called your mom in 2 weeks, make that phone call. Call your dad. Write home if you're a young person off in college. It's really important to stay connected with our parents. Even as we begin to realize that they may have not have done the most amazing job that we would have liked them to do. They are where we came from. They're the two people God chose to bring us into this world. Number five, right? We all need to hold on to number five. Kill. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not be angry with your neighbor, thou shalt not wish them ill. Rats, Lord, I need to go to confession. I wish my neighbors ill, right? Especially when they wake me up. There's no reason to plow this street this week. There's no snow out there. What are they doing with the backup beeper and the chains?
It was scary.
Apparently. I'm ready. 4:30, I'm ready. Which is 3:30. Right? But how well do we take seriously that commandment to honor life? And we're not even talking about abortion or euthanasia or capital punishment or war. I'm talking about how we treat one another at school or at home. I think life has become frivolous, really a cast off. Human slavery in the United States, a person's value is about $20. When slavery was at its height, a person's value was at least that of a brand new car. $25,000 to $35,000 in today's money. Life is now cheap and disposable. Our teacher who was teaching us how to hear confessions, which is an interesting class, as we practice on each other, you know, role-playing, had us, you know, had a little story of the hearing first confessions, you know, the seven-year-olds. And one of the little boys comes in and says, "Father, I've sinned, I've committed adultery." I'm like, okay. And this is, I'm totally cold, right? They're just, they walk in with a little scenario and they're supposed to read it. And you're supposed to answer as the wise and wonderful face of Jesus in the confessional. And I'm like, could you explain that? And I wanted to give an age-appropriate answer. And he said, "Well, I dressed up in my dad's clothes." Good. That's so much easier. I wish it was that simple. But if we look around in our culture, our sexuality is totally disordered by our media, by the pornography industry, which is like $14 billion a year in profits or sales or whatever they count. That's crazy. Comcast, 50% of their revenue comes from pay-per-view pornography through hotel chains. 50%. What is our culture saying about the human body, about relationships, about honoring who we are? It's saying, cast it to the wind and seek after pleasure. But if you ask people who are recovering from a pornography addiction, there wasn't a whole lot of pleasure involved. Just a whole lot of emptiness. Thou shalt not steal, right? Should be for each of us. How well have I worked? Have I stolen hours that I've been paid for and not really worked at? You know, have I walked home with things? Has my company defrauded my workers? On and on and on. If we follow these, our society would be incredibly different. And yet there's a whole group of our citizens who wants them effaced. Remove the Ten Commandments from anywhere. They don't matter. That's old superstition. But if you really dive into them, they actually keep us safe and healthy. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. I love the political ads and then the little truth checker at the bottom, right? This ad only 65% true. Or this ad only 47% true. I'm like, well, how can they get away with printing something that's it's merely half true? And how does that make them look? The ones who are making... Am I going to vote for someone who puts out a lot of negative ads that aren't true? I don't mind the truth. I'm actually a seeker of the truth. But when we put out lies and pretend they're true, we violate not only the commandments, but we tear apart the fabric of our society. Right? How many have been defrauded or lied to by a close friend, and now that friendship is a little awkward and takes a while to heal? We have two commandments. The Protestants only have one here. We have two, because they take theirs from Deuteronomy, we take ours from Exodus. It's okay. We have two about coveting, because it's so dangerous. We have a whole society that's built on coveting, in fact. I saw this great statistic that, you know, economic growth in the United States was at 6.8%. And they're like, well, that's actually pretty good. We're recovering from the recession. And then the economist said, well, but if we take out the earnings of one single company, it drops to 3.2%. Like, what is that one single company that could have half of the economic growth in the last 3 years? Yeah. Apple Computer. Now, does Apple sell anything that we actually need to survive? Or do I want that new phone just because the ads make it look so spectacular? I vote for the new phone because the ads are so spectacular. There's lots of other phones out there that make phone calls. But this one can, like, make appointments for you and find local Indian food restaurants. I mean, Apple products are really amazing. And they make this podcast possible in a way that I could never do on that old Windows machine. But half of our economic growth is due to coveting the next and latest and greatest, while they don't do so good paying their workers overseas? It gets complicated. How, you know, involved am I in looking over the fence saying, what they got over there is way better than what I got over here, so I'm going to throw away what I have here that's not actually worn out or unable and get what they have over there? Coveting what God had, the knowledge of good and evil, led Adam and Eve to eat the fruit of the tree. That God said, that's out of bounds, it's dangerous, poisonous. Coveting is poisonous because you fail to realize what you have. Our health, our family, our friends, our warm shelter. I admit I was coveting warm showers for a month, found them at the gym or at friends' houses. You know, it's like couch surfing. Can I use your shower? And yet, we have a society built on more. More clothes, more shoes, more electronics. I mean, Alaska doesn't do the more cars like California does, right? They're almost at the status of idols. But we do get caught up into this. And why does God say don't do it? Because it causes us to be less than who we can be. We want to be filled with the glory of God. And while I'm worried that I don't have enough stuff, there's no room in me for God's glory. So if you've been inspired to study up on the Ten Commandments, because I'd suggest they might be the final exam to get into heaven, right? You can rip that page out of the Missalette. We're not going to need it. Take it home with you. I'm serious. We just recycle them all. So if you want a copy of Exodus 20, take one home today. Just rip that page out, put it in your pocket, put it on the wall at home, in the refrigerator, wherever you find yourself most tempted, and say, oh, there's another way of living by God's rules. Let's try that. And if it hasn't been going so well, you can see Father Casey and I on Thursday night for for our Lenten penance service.
Thank you for listening to Semper Gumby in Alaska. This is Father Thomas Weiss, a priest of the Diocese of Juneau. If you'd like to send me any feedback, you can reach me through my email at frthomasweiss@gmail.com. Again, that's frthomasweiss@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and if there's any way I can make these podcasts more helpful, please let me know. May God bless you and have a great day.